Brother Glenn?
Glenn, he came here for a funeral yesterday that Pete went to.
Kit, what's his face?
Remember Kit, he was here.
Sure do.
We're still looking at the idea of command and commandments. Let's go to Romans 6 a minute, I think. Well, this is let's just read this chapter, or part of the first part of the chapter. Start in let's just start in verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. The like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also, and it should be of his resurrection. It's not in the likeness of his, it's not in the. Anyway, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if you believe what it's going to say in Romans 7, we're not going to go there, but it says that he found this thing, that he if he does what he doesn't want to do, or if he doesn't want to do what he does, then it's not him that's doing it, but sin that dwelleth in him. Well, let's just read it in verse 17, or 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that sin is the person. That person is the instead of Christ. And so now we go back to Romans 6.
Hold on a minute, please. We've talked about the mind of Christ in us and being vessels, earthen vessels, and how we are used as vessels. We make ourselves available to be used. And when the Holy Spirit moves in us, we are, what am I trying to say here? The result of that is something that we were used. We're not aware of it. It's an after-the-fact kind of thing. You know what I'm trying to say here? We've talked about this a little bit in the past. Are you telling me here that the same is true for sin? That we don't know we're entering into a sinful situation until after the fact because sin has overtaken us the way the mind of Christ has?
As I've said many times, sin, or the instead of Christ, or the mind, is the default position. And it has to be the default position so that which is perfect in you can be tested. And so the idea herein is anything other than faith is of sin.
I understand that.
Okay, and yes, you're always, that's why I'm saying, it's...
So if the mind of Christ is...
The mind of Christ is empty.
When we are used as these earthen vessels, we can be used for the glory of God. We can be used for His purpose. We can't consciously set out to do that, but sometimes the result is righteousness.
Right. Wherever there's abandonment of self, there's His righteousness.
Right. We're in agreement there. I understand that. But I'm talking about really the antithesis of that as it relates to sin. Are we unconscious of sin until after the fact?
Mostly.
We are
until you're exhorted. Because your natural position as a human being is to believe sin.
I don't know what that means.
Well, you understand from what we've just read and many other scriptures, sin is a person. It's not, it's who we are, not what we do. And sin is the mind of Adam, the mind of the human, because of the fall. And so seems like the whole church now is they're trying to put God's name on sin, because they are preaching self-improvement in the name of God.
I understand all that.
Okay.
I do.
So, are you, when you find yourself in a thousand ways, I mean, that's why the tells are so important. If you esteem what the world esteems, more than likely you're still in sin. If you fear what the world fears, you're in sin.
I'm aware of all that. My point is more along the lines of our consciousness of it as it's going on. You're saying that we can sort of wake up and say,
"My God, I'm in sin.
I sinned."
But it's
not a purposeful, plotting, deceitful.
No, it's the awareness of self or self-protection or self in any guise is sin.
Okay.
It's like worshiping idols. Nobody ever thinks they're worshiping an idol.
Right.
They always think it's like we're doing the right thing here.
I just never thought of it that way. I never thought of it being an unconscious act, you know.
You know, that's why this is so critical, because we must, I mean, that's why the whole thing, we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We cast down all imaginations. And that bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, it can't happen until you are aware you're not there. And that sometimes it's a massive explosion, other times it's find out, oh my God, I'm back.
Well, just the fact that you recognize it, even if it's after the fact, a recognition of it is more than that's what I would hope for.
Sure. When you see it, you repent. And this, again, we are to be transfigured by the renewing of our mind that we may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So just as He, as Son of Man, was tested, we have to be tested to do nothing as the Son of Man. And if you use your mind, you're doing it as Son of Man, which is the evil one.
I was thinking of the thing in Hebrews where it says, once you've tasted God's goodness and sinned willfully, then you're really in trouble.
Right.
So you know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, this is sin. I'm conscious of it now, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway.
Right, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
I'm dismissing God.
Right, you say you're going to go ahead and do it until God tells you to stop.
Yeah.
Well, He told you to stop.
Yeah.
And this is a big, big deal. You have to go to war with your mind, and the mind until it's seen for what it is. You cast down imagination. In every high place, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that's not a light matter. That's as big as it gets. Now you say you know you're the evil one. We've talked about it many times. But you can't believe that it's the default position. And it has to be the default position in order that the test of the mind of Christ or the perfection which is within you, it has to be tested in the same way that Christ was, so that you can be part of this mystery of the body of Christ. If you either yield yourself to the Father, or you automatically are yielding yourself to the evil one. There's no in between. There's no. Well, that's what we're going to read here. Let's go back to Romans 7.
There's one place in here where it talks about with my mind I serve the law of God.
That's the mind of Christ.
And then how does that mind?
Emptied. So that you do nothing of yourself.
So up until the point of emptying yourself, there's mental activity taking place.
Yeah, and as soon as you recognize you're doing it, you repent.
There's mental activity taking place when you pour yourself out, because that's an emptying. You know, you're like letting go.
Yeah, but the mind is in the process to that point, which doesn't change what you're saying. Christ, but that was the same mind in him.
Yeah, but the mind of Christ, he didn't pay any attention to his mind as Son of Man.
Well, then he wasn't tested, if that's the case.
Okay. No, he was tested first as just using his own mind.
Yeah, in those listen,
just as a living, growing up.
Yeah.
And all of the things everything that his mind could take him to, a Son of Man. And he saw its emptiness and vanity and futility. When he saw that, then in God's timing, that was time for his baptism, which is burial, the Son of Man. And then after that, we only know three times, as we've talked about many times, where he was tempted to use his mind as Son of Man. Other than that, he always abandoned himself. He never gave thought to what he was going to do next. He never paid the slightest bit of attention to cause and effect. Most of the time, the questions that people were asking him, he went off on a totally different tangent because he was only doing what he saw the Father doing. Never, ever, ever leaning on his own arm of understanding. That's the mind of Christ. But just as he was tested, to not use this evil one. So we are tested to not use this evil one for anything.
Okay, well, for me, that accounts for the fact that there is mental processes taking place. We see what's happening and we turn from it because we understand what it means to use your mind. That's what John
says. Well, if you're, but my point,
it's let go. Yeah, gone.
You do, but up to the point of letting go, there's stuff. And that's the stuff I think we always are struggling with here. Yes, we turn from ourselves. Yes, we abandon. But before that abandonment happens, the mind is doing whatever it can to deceive us, to turn us, to twist us.
To try to, it's the from the standpoint of once you become a believer, the evil one is always testing you by a strange way, and he's testing you to put God's name on his activities. And so anytime you are simply like living a normal life, you think, and you just go around and do stuff, and in that doing stuff you're constantly using your mind, you're using cause and effect, you're doing this, you're doing that, then the evil one's purpose is to trick you into thinking that's got to put God's name on the things that you're doing with your mind. And that's the most subtle of all his tricks. And let's
well, I don't know. I lost you there. I'm trying to think of if you're not aware of yourself, you're just doing stuff, then you're, you know, living in a place where you're abandoned until you start focusing on self or thinking that, you know, I'm in the picture.
Yeah, and so by so like, that thinking that you have to do something.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that's yeah, you've yeah, left yeah, the rest yeah, if you have to do
right,
it.
Right, yeah, right, I see that, yeah.
All right.
Once you're out of the rest.
But the rest is total. You totally cease from your own labors.
Yeah.
That's the Sabbath position.
Yeah.
And so, but this evil one is trying to constantly make you think that doing other than that has got God's name on it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and the mind of Christ is ignoring all that.
The mind of Christ empties.
Yeah.
Which is different than ignoring. Ignoring means you just kind of push to the side, but emptying is flushing it.
Yes.
Well, if you're...
I mean, those kinds of, you know, don't get hung up on that. Just let go of yourself.
I agree with Gary on that. I think maybe it's definitional, but ignoring means you just got it in the back burner. It'll come back. It'll resurrect itself. If it's empty, it's gone. It's shot. It's dead. It's gone forever. There's
right,
a big difference between the two.
But that's why it's important that this not be a philosophy, that it be a seeing as he is in the world, so are we. And so it's not as we are in the world, so is he, which we'd like to make it. And so as he is in the world, so are we. He did nothing of himself. He did nothing. He had no labor to do except obey God.
I was just thinking about the scripture where it says neglecting those things that are behind.
Right.
You know, basically you're just...
You neglect yourself.
You don't care about them. You don't care about yourself. So that's what.
Well, let's go on here. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For that he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, or by him, is what it says. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that, and this is the part we want to study, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So if I yield to sin, if I yield to my mind, then I'm out of the picture again. I put myself back in the picture. You resurrected sin. But if you yield to God by abandonment, then you've yielded yourselves unto righteousness. But this is critical. Know you not, in verse 16, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. So you're either obeying the evil one, or you are obeying Jesus Christ. You're obeying the Father, really, because Christ is empty. You do nothing of yourself or from yourself. And it says, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, unto you. Or delivered you, excuse me. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, but you can't then go back and yield yourself to sin again. Sin is a he, if you notice here, because he's the instead of Christ. He's that set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God, because he judges for himself good and evil. That's why we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And what does that mean? It means that everything that goes on in your life, if it changes with time, place, or circumstance, it's not worthy of giving any importance to. Now that's the end. That's why we spend so much time talking about this. It's because it has to manifest itself in obedience.
The complete obedience is the finish line, if you will, it's sanctification.
Well, we can't really say that, because we can say that, because we can never believe that we have arrived. That's the fruit of this.
It's like you don't arrive in eternity. Eternity is without time, form, space. There's no arrival, beginning, or end.
No, but you've left that which gives you a beginning or an end.
So that's a time issue.
Well, you're no longer subject to it. You're sitting on the mercy seat. But this is why there's just four stages talked about. I write unto you, darling infants, you're still in the world, but you know your sin is forgiven. And that's fine. Then it says, I write unto you, adolescents, teenagers, because you're still in the wilderness. And the only thing you know that when you're in the wilderness is that I believed in God. Then you enter into the promised land, and there you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. But then you finally reach the mercy seat, and it says, I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with him that is from the beginning. And so that's not, that can be that quick, or it can take 100 years.
I just connected this. You know, we started off, you said something about, you know, Jesus says he grew up and everything was
right,
was being tested and all that. And, you know, I just connected that to the fact that Christ experienced all those stages of being a human, you know, in human life, and all the things that, you know, that you encounter. And he's, you know, perfect. He's, you
and
know,
he left them.
He's the way, you know.
He's the only way.
And it's like, it's just so amazing. You know, I don't know. I just got a weird
It's perfect. That's why he used all of these crazy things to teach this. He used the animals and plants and trees and to teach this. I am the vine, you are the branches. Well, the only way that branch has to get sap or life into it is by abandoning. If the branch thinks it's doing stuff, it's chopped off. Except the kernel of wheat, except the pecan, fall into the ground and die. And abideth it long. Now, die is die. Death is death. Consider the ants, consider the flowers, consider the bees, consider everything. Consider all these crazy things that happen with instinct, where whales travel 3,000 or 4,000 miles and get back to the same place. Or hummingbirds fly from here all the way across the Gulf of Mexico and end up in the Yucatan Peninsula, where they were born to mate. How do they do that? Well, they do that by the guidance system that God has given us. If you abandon ourselves. This is the only reason we exist.
Yeah. I was thinking about how do they know that the tsunami
Amen. So you're in a position of that's why the first thing he said was to the disciples, abandon yourself, pick up your cross, then you will be in him, you will follow him. But if you don't abandon yourself, then you just put God's name on your own activities.
And that's cool if you not reckoning yourself dead, then you're depending on your own guidance system, which
right.
is completely screwed up.
But then you'll automatically say that you're following God's guidance system, but you're really following your own, and you just put God's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say so often, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't teach us the way. He is the way. He doesn't give us life. He is life. He doesn't show us truth. He is truth. He is. He is. We are gone. If we accept, but you can't be gone and then use your mind and think you're with him. I mean, you can because you may still be in the world. You still may be a teenager. But if you have any desire to be in the end place, it takes the same emptiness in you that was in Christ. Hear me. As he is in the world, so are we. Not as we are in the world, so is he. That's a big difference. So the command is to die. Whether you like commands or not.
Oh, this is coming back around to command.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you done a word search on that command?
Yeah. Diatasso.
I did one last night, and it's real interesting because a real root word has, it's like pulverized, fine dust, powder. And it's like the law. The law shows you your total inability to achieve it or follow it, and you are dust. And in the attempt to follow the law, that will be your revelation.
No, you can't. Yeah, but you have to follow abandonment of self, because you know that's the rest of it is dust. If you can't if you know it's dust and then still use the dust, then there's an issue.
Well, dust can't use itself. I mean,
of course it does. The whole human race is dust, and they're using dust. Man was made from the ground, and everything he wants to eat is dust. It's not. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's born to do. Whether it's no matter how expensive the dust is. That's why he told us. Well, that's Genesis 3.
Expensive dust.
Huh?
It's the idea of expensive dust.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent, if you don't believe your mind is a serpent, then we've got a problem.
When you were talking a minute ago about the parables, consider these things, consider the birds, consider the bees, that's a mental process.
Of course, until you find that it's what you're doing is stupid. That's the purpose of it.
Okay, so it does have a purpose, and it is approved that you would use your mind in that way.
To see the end.
To see the end, to see him.
But you have to, if you've seen the end, you have to see the end, period. Listen. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall I go, it really says, by thy belly you shall be led by your appetites. And dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Dust is what will give you sustenance and satisfaction. until it doesn't anymore. Your mind does.
Christ gets no satisfaction with us.
But your mind does.
But our life is Christ.
Yeah. We're back to here. It's your life is Christ, but that means that you've a new creation that's in you, but the mind is still your default position. Still trying to get you to eat dust and put God's name on it. This is, no matter what we study, you can do it, and we can study and learn every minute thing, but if it doesn't end in your death, then you're kidding yourself. Then you remain double-minded your whole life. There's not three. There's not you and the evil one and Christ. That's why it's so important. But you have never been an independent entity. You've always been a vessel. That's what's hard for people to get. The vessel, you've been a vessel for the evil one. You walk according to the patterns of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Then that has to be seen as total empty, that the dust no longer satisfies. Then you reckon yourself crucified and abandon yourself completely. And there he is. Because if you're there in any way, then he takes the lowest seat because of his humility. Now he could slap us upside the head and make sure, you know, blah, 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 whatever. But that's not what he wants. He wants us to want what he wants without him telling us. And that can only be done by this incredible walk we're on. But at some point in the walk, you have to leave the world. And then you go through the wilderness, getting rid of the grave clothes of religion and the grave clothes of the world. And you hopefully don't make a quick trip to Babylon. But either way, you have another exodus if you did. And you come back into that place of faith where now, you're still a young one, but it says now you are strong. The word of God abideth continually in you. You've overcome the wicked one, the evil one. The evil one has always been your mind. His name is sin. His name is the instead of Christ. His name is the evil one. The only enemy of God in time and space is your mind.
I just thought of a thing where, you know, Abraham's faith says God reckoned it as righteousness.
Amen.
But he didn't tell us or Abraham to reckon ourselves as righteous.
No.
He said reckon yourselves as dead. And that's what religion does. Or, you know, it's like, not reckoning yourself righteous enough.
Yeah,
right.
Reckon some more righteousness.
Right, because you try to.
Yeah.
We see it in Revelation. The beast, it looks like now he's changed. He's another beast, but because he's got two horns. He's made himself a religious beast. But it doesn't matter what religion it is. Because he puts God's name on his labors. And that can't be done.
I've got to go. I'm in the middle of the deal.
All right. We'll all got to go. Take it, big guy.
In the middle of an email exchange with my boss about correcting.
Tell me you're taking a shower. Well, so much for Glenn and his buddy.
Yeah. Oh, when he said that, I thought, oh my God.
Take it, big guy.
Another thing.